Good evening, squirrels. This is show 3,000,026.
It's show infinity plus one.
It's, what the hell is it? I lose track. I can't keep track of them all. It's 343. It's a palindrome.
Jesus. Oh. Wow.
That is a lot of shows.
We've been doing this for, what is it, 7.5 years? I forget.
10 years.
900 hits. And unlike Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, none of us are in brown face. I like brown face. Don't you like that? It's like that ever so subtle soft pedal. Oh, it's not black face. It's just brown face.
Oh, just brown face.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, okay. Well, what does he do on St. Patrick's Day? Does he do green face on St. Patrick's Day?
And this was what, in 2001, right?
Yeah.
So I have a story about this. So I went to college for a little while at Texas Tech, and there was a I can't remember if it was Texas Tech or UNT. Anyway, one of the places I went to college, there was a fraternity called the Fijis. I don't know if they're anywhere else.
No.
I'm sure. Well, maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. Anyway. I think it comes from like the Fiji Islanders or something. Anyway, back in the old days, like long, long time ago, they used to do like the blackface, brownface thing and dress up in like grass skirts and stuff like that. And that was their thing. By the time I got to school in the 80s, they had stopped. They had not done that in decades because everyone knew it was wrong.
Right, right. Everyone knew it was offensive.
Right. So what they did was they
and this was in red state racist Texas, right?
Yes, exactly. And so what they did instead was they dressed, you know, they used purple or blue or whatever. They looked like a bunch of fucking naked Smurfs. It was hilarious. But anyway, they knew that the whole brown face, black face thing was fucking wrong. And but, you know, they did it back in the, you know, decades and decades, you know, I'm talking like, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s maybe, that when, you know, it was cool to be racist apparently. So, but anyway, this was back in the 80s. Now, fast forward to 2001 in the liberal paradise of Canada, where everybody that thinks America is fucked up wants to move to, except they never seem to manage it. Suddenly, you got a guy who was a teacher at some place? It was a school, right? He was a teacher. Not a student. An adult teacher. Doing the blackface thing. And not doing it ironically.
Yeah.
And he did it over and over. It was like his thing.
Well, three times.
Well, that's the thing. You know, three times that we know of, you know, like you said.
Well, do you know what I just dug up, Alan? Because I was, or you were talking about, you know, school in the 80s and blackface was unacceptable.
Uh-huh.
Ted Danson showing up in blackface at the Whoopi Goldberg roast.
Well, he was
wildly inappropriate. I've got an AP report right now. Offended Mayor Dinkins, said his performance was over the line.
Yeah, but he was fucking Whoopi Goldberg at the time, probably. Right? Wasn't that at the time?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
This was 1993. So 8 years prior, this had been a giant news story. And if you...
Oh, I remember when that happened.
Even in America's hat, they had to have heard of this.
Sure.
This had to have made the news. Ted Danson was as big as they come because this was right at the time that Cheers went off the air. I could not have been... less than more than like 6 months, because I know it was 93 because I watched the series finale in my favorite bar, and I didn't turn 21 until 92. So it was in that like a 1 year window. So Ted Danson was definitely a thing. It was the whole 3 minute debate, although I think that was 80s, but Ted Danson was definitely a big enough star that they would have heard of this over in Kanuckistan. 8 years prior.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, I'm terribly sorry if what I did offend. You know, like, you mealy-mouthed little bastard. You knew. You absolutely fucking knew that that was wrong and offensive. But you did it anyway because you knew being with the right people means never having to say you're sorry.
Well, not only did he do it, but everybody around him was apparently thrilled.
See, but they're Canadian. He's Canadian. All they ever do is say they're sorry. Have you ever met a Canadian? I mean, that's like a joke among Canadians is that they say they're sorry for everything.
Yeah, but they don't.
Well, that they call each other hoser, too.
Right. But that's like their thing. They say, I'm sorry for everything. But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's because they just think like, oh, we're Canadian. We're so nice about everything. We can't possibly mean anything bad by it. I don't know. It's just a bizarre kind of, lack of self-introspection, maybe? Like, maybe you should take a step back and say to yourself, Especially in 2001. I mean, come on.
Hey,
and,
Jay.
Again, what's that?
Jay.
Yes?
Take off, you hoser.
Dig off, eh? Doug's not here, and I got two soakers, and this sucks.
Remember when we thought that was
funny? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was back in the 80s.
Bob and Doug McKenzie, McKenzie brothers.
Second season of television.
Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas. Wow. Rick Moranis, who you might remember from Ghostbusters or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And Dave Thomas, who is not the Dave Thomas that used to be in the Wendy's commercial. And that's about the only thing he's ever known for is not being that guy.
I like the Rick Moranis story about how he quit Hollywood because his wife had cancer and died. And he felt that he needed to take care of his family. And so pretty much at the height of his career, he quit and said, okay, that's it.
Well, you know, he's probably also got, he also has probably a very, you know, because he was at the height of his career, a very comfortable master.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not hurting for money.
Gets a check every month and, you know.
Yeah, the kids is like, it's a ride at Disney for crying out loud. You know, I'm sure. And don't forget, he was also in My Blue Heaven. So, Barney Cooper. I'm throwing out all the 80s. That might have actually been 90s.
That was a great movie. I like that. I like My Blue Heaven better than any of his other movies.
Once you got over Steve Martin attempting to be a wise guy, it was fun. Steve Martin is probably the least Italian person on the planet.
Yeah.
So. Well,
is that a text message for me?
No, that's my mom. She's checking
out. Oh, that's you. Aw, yeah. Right. How are you, Jay? Talk about your day.
I just one more quick thing, and then we can go on that. Imagine if someone had found a picture of, let's say, United Kingdom Prime Minister Boris Johnson in brown from 18 years ago. Do you think it would be like a little passing, this is unfortunate? Or do you think it would be horribly racist thing from Trump friend, you know, Boris Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Well, of course.
It'd be Trump's fault.
Trump actually held him down and painted him.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't tried that with Trudeau.
Yeah, Trump never liked Trudeau.
Nobody likes Trudeau. He's a simpering little pansy. Come on.
Yeah, the liberals like him.
Has there been a Republican who did blackface?
I'm sure there has.
At some point, somebody did. You know,
Alabama governor. This is just from August 29th, 2019. Alabama governor Kay Ivey apologizes for wearing blackface during college skit. Kay Ivey looks like she could have worn blackface like during the Civil War. She's that old. More than 50 years ago.
Right.
50 years ago.
Yep.
But they're doing this article because we got to get a Republican in blackface, right?
So they had back 50 years, which by my reckoning would be
Well, they had Ralph Northam, Jay.
Well, late,
here's the thing. Back in, 50 years ago, there was probably a shitload more Democrats doing blackface than Republicans.
Yeah.
Because the Democrats owned the South.
Well, they all changed. They all turned into Republicans, just like Robert Byrd.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hey.
And Northam and...
Yeah. Yeah, Governor Blackface, yep. So, I had to bring up Johnson because I know the media hates him. They hate him because he's Trump-like.
Oh, yeah, Boris.
You know, you got Boris Johnson in the UK. You've got, why can't I think of his name? Why is it Brazil, the new Brazilian leader? God.
Man, Alzheimer's a bitch, isn't it, Jay?
Yeah, it really is. Why?
He's so madly Googling.
I am. And right now, Bolsonaro. That's it, Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro.
You could have said anything, and I wouldn't.
They're all in the same mold as Trump. They aren't afraid of media backlash.
Well, because they know it's meaningless unless you
allow it to be.
Right. If you give in to them, then they won. If you don't, then they're powerless.
It's like standing up to a bully.
Yep. Well, Jay.
Speaking of standing up, something I'm having trouble doing these days.
Oh, no.
Well, not really. I just, it was a segue. It's an injury.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I had a little interesting incident on the way into work this morning. Apparently my car.
This incident seems to have happened quite a few times in this car.
Yes, I've owned my car for 4 years and I've been rear-ended 3 times.
That's crazy.
It's like just about every year.
I'd get it.
I was not rear-ended.
Is it the car or is it like?
I don't know. It's a Toyota RAV4. It's not like it's. I don't know.
Well, there you go.
I don't know. All
God,
I know is
God hates Toyotas.
Apparently, when I had the Dodge Ram, the bumper was rusting and the rear quarter panels were rusting, and I wanted someone to hit me because then it would have gotten. I'm like, please, plow into me. I won't notice, and you'll get my fenders fixed. Thank you.
Well,
nothing.
The problem is they see that big truck, and they know if they hit it, they're going to die. So
that's
they stay back. They see your car, and they see just, well, it's just a big tin airbag. You know, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody goes out intentionally to rear-end people.
No, but incentives matter.
They do pay attention to big trucks.
Oh.
Yep.
No, okay. You have a rather Landiatish car. Has anyone
heard? No. No.
They're like, my God, the car is roughly the size of an apartment complex.
It's also like, it's going to hurt them a lot more than it hurts me because, like, my car is not new. And
that
car
could house 3 families of Guatemalan illegal aliens. Come on.
probably not. When was the last time you checked the wheel wells, Brita?
Oh, true. True. Well,
I've gone through this before. I had a period in the 90s, an 8-month period in which one car was totaled and one was pretty close to total. And I responded by going out and buying a 1983 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. I was the first person on my block to have a car the size of my block. And nobody messes with a 1980s Cadillac because they really are about 80 feet long. And the biggest problem I had was that helicopters kept landing on it. Damn it! Guys, there's no H on the roof. Come on.
Did you check?
They do actually aggressively fall apart, which is the big problem. So
we sometimes have this issue when we bring groceries back from... the store, couple days later, I'll be like, where are the waffles? Oh. Or where is, like, the, didn't I buy a blah, blah, blah? And, you know, things have gotten lost in the trunk. This is so huge.
We had friends have a cabin up on a lake, and when we were younger, we'd all, like, a whole group would descend on them over, like, weekends in the summer. And, you know, we would bring a tent because there wasn't room enough for everybody in the cabin. It wasn't a big deal. So we would go up with a tent, air mattress, chairs, all of our clothes, a whole bunch, you know, week's worth of food, and it would all go in the trunk of the Cadillac, which, by the way, also had four snow tires in it. Because we lived in a car that didn't have room for the snow tires for my wife's car. So they just stayed in the trunk of the Cadillac. And still had room for all of our gear.
I remember those trunks. Those were awesome.
It just opened up and you were like, oh, it's a TARDIS.
We used to go to the drive-in.
Yes.
We used to go to the drive-in and, you know, put like six dudes in the trunk of those big cars. And, you know, it'd be like, you know, like one guy driving in and then like six people in the trunk. And then it's like, you know.
Me. I am watching this movie by myself.
Yeah, yeah. And to make things worse, it was Dollar Night.
Oh, cheap ass.
Brita, in all fairness, this was the you know, the 1870s, and a dollar was real money.
Monday night was Dollar Night at the drive-in.
I can't think of a way to segue into your piece, Alan. I really can't. How do we go from car accidents to anyway?
I don't know what I guess talking about.
Bottom line is, I got hit pretty hard. I mean, my tailgate won't open now. Let's put it that way. The bumper's folded in half.
And you're going to the doctor.
I have an appointment
tomorrow.
Or morning.
Hey, Jay, did it scare the shit out of you?
Have you taken...
Hey, you know, that's the worst part, is it really didn't. I felt traffic stopping. You know, I stopped, and I just... I don't know if his anti-lock brakes worked really well or if he just didn't hit his brakes at all, but it was just bang! And fortunately, the guy in front of me moved. I wasn't in a chain reaction, but... The worst part was that my coffee in the center console just exploded all over everything.
Gosh. Oh no! Yeah. Oh,
not only do I not,
that's gonna total it.
I'm gonna be like, nope. Guess what, guys? You're paying for a detailing because there's coffee fucking everywhere.
Damn right. Oh. And the guy who hit you pulled over though, right?
He did, and he was unreasonably nice. He was very apologetic, and he just came up to he's like, "Oh my God, are you okay? I'm so sorry. I couldn't stop in time." And
Here's the thing.
Yeah, you know, it's.
I'm gonna get on my soapbox here. I'm gonna get on my soapbox because everywhere I've ever been that doesn't get like ice and snow like crazy. People ride each other's bumpers.
Yes, they do.
And you cut, and people, like, you know, switch lanes right on other people's bumpers. And I see it when I go to Texas. I've seen it in Arizona. I see it all the time in places where they don't get ice and snow, like Cleveland and up north. And, you know, and it gives me anxiety, like, driving on the road in Texas. Because I just, in Cleveland, we give each other, like, distance. And we're conditioned to do that because a great portion of the year, the road is covered in ice sometimes, you know, and you need time to be able to stop. And it just, isn't that a thing that they teach you in driver's ed? Like, give yourself distance so that at certain speeds, you can have room to stop. And the reason why you've been rear-ended four times, Jay, is because people don't do that where you live anymore.
They don't.
And it's, if you
do leave enough room, somebody will cut in between you.
Yeah.
Is like, that's the part that drives me nuts. Because I don't like tailgating people. I don't like being close because I don't like it when people do it to me. So,
right.
You know, like if I'm, let's say.
Well, you grew up in a place, you learned to drive in a place with snow and ice, Jay.
You want that extra, you want that full 3 seconds. I was up here, I was taught, you count. Like if you're on the highway.
Yes.
The dashed lines, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. You should be 3 full seconds behind the car in front of you to give you plenty of time.
Right.
But if you leave that much room, I mean, 18 wheelers will pull in between you.
I know.
You know, what ends up happening is people just keep cutting in and there's just no point. You just end up having to ride the person in front of you or you just keep getting cut off.
Yeah. And that's why you've been rear-ended 4 times.
So just three.
Three.
Oh, missed.
Well,
car. Only three. I still own the car, so I probably will get rear-ended again.
Ugh, it's very frustrating.
So I looked. I found a 2005 Cadillac. I'm like, I could buy that. But
Does it run?
Oh, for some definition of run, I'm sure.
Yeah, but a 2005 Cadillac, you know that's going to suck.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the land yacht.
I'm joking because it's the same age, just, time-wise, as the 83 was when I bought it. Oh, actually, no, I got it 96. I don't know. Anyway, it was right after my van got totaled, which made me sad. Which it was a Toyota, by the way.
I guess
84 Toyota van, if you remember them, for the squirrels out there that are motorheads, it's the one that looked like a toaster.
Oh, I remember those.
It was the oddest design. It's very Asian. And they didn't have them very long. They went to the Previa, which was more minivan looking. Or the Previa really looked like an egg.
I'm gonna name you guys Click and Clack.
you'll never guess what's going on today, and I totally missed out on it.
It's Talking Like a Pirate Day.
No, it's fucking Beto's. Beto's doing an AMA on Reddit.
Oh God!
A what? Oh my God! Ask me really?
On Reddit, and he's just getting slaughtered.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
I'm sorry, I'm missing this.
Yeah, I know.
This is comic gold right here.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Why did he think this was a good idea? Has he been on Reddit before?
No, of course not. But he's elite hacker, Cult of the Dead Cow guy, right?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Sure he is.
I can't wait to read that tomorrow. I have the day off, so I'm just going to read it.
Oh.
Anyway.
Good stuff. We should post the link in the squirrel port.
Yeah. Go to the AMA page. It's right there on Reddit.
American Motor Association?
Yeah.
No, Jay.
r/IAMA. I'll put a link on this thing.
So last week I said on the show that I was going to go I'm just doing this without a segue because whatever, I'm tired. Last week on the show I said I was going to Southern Ohio on a road trip with my mother on Friday. And I should have known better. It was like a full moon and Friday the 13th. And what was supposed to be like a little over 3 hours turned into like 6.5 hour drive.
Wow.
Because we got lost we had no GPS. We had shitty directions. We had stopped at an antique store. We got different directions from some old guy. It was an ordeal last Friday.
Aww.
Moral of the story, print your own damn directions. Don't rely on your mother. Anyway, so last week I said that we were going to Southern Ohio to the Paw Paw Festival. And I don't know if anybody did their homework, but pawpaws are like a native fruit that grows in, it grows really well in Ohio because we have that like kind of temperate, you know, climate and not too hot, not too cold kind of thing. And it seems to grow really well in kind of dappled forests, you know, kind of Appalachia kind of area. So we drove to what I referred to as Northern Appalachia, which is Southern Ohio. And trust me.
Did you hear banjos?
Yeah. And we got so lost that at a certain point, I have to tell this story. We got so lost that we had to stop at a gas station. And it was like at a crossroads where there was really nothing else. There was this gas station and it was had a kind of a derelict looking restaurant attached to it. I don't know if the restaurant was up and running or not, but the gas station was a gas station. And inside the gas station building was kind of like a convenience store slash deli slash, I don't know. But it seemed to be like the only place in town because everybody was there hanging out and there was kids there and whatever. And we were so lost. And I think we were like an hour, like five at this point of the 3 hour drive. And, you know, I was getting like freaked out. And actually I got my phone out and we had stopped and I said, I don't know what to do because we didn't have GPS because there was no signal at that time. Oh. And I got on my phone and I was going to call Alan. And my mom was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going to call Alan. He can Google where we are and then tell us where to go. And I turned my phone on, no service.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God. I'm fucked. I was like, this is like my hell.
It's like the scariest thing.
It's terrible. You're and like, we what? Were. Yeah. I'm no idea where we were.
We used to not, you know, we used to go all over the place with no signal and not give a shit.
I didn't have, there was not even a map in the car. If I had had a map, I could have figured it out, yeah, but there's not a map in the car. Yeah,
fun.
I could have figured out a map. So anyway, we go in this gas station and, you know, and so my mom spies this guy and he's kind of like a younger guy and he's wearing a worker outfit, like a fluorescent yellow vest with like reflective tape and his name on it. And we're thinking, okay, good. So my mom says to him, she's like, you know, we're really lost.
Did she ask what a protester was doing in Southern Ohio?
It was one of those vests. It was definitely, yeah, you're right. It was a yellow vest. And so she goes up to the guy and she's like, hi, you know, we're kind of lost. We're from out of town. We don't know where we are. We don't have any signal. We're trying to get to Nelsonville. And the guy looks at my mom and, okay. And he says to my mom, he goes, oh, Nelsonville. No, you can't get there from here.
Oh my God, he was from Maine. Nope, can't get
there. He was kidding. Yeah. He was kidding.
Oh, okay.
Thank God he was kidding. And I mean, this is like after like me driving for 2 hours through like really, really backcountry roads that I said to my mom, I was like, it feels like I'm driving a roller coaster. Like it was that like back and forth and up and down and curves and crazy. And so, yeah. So his instructions basically were like, okay, go down this road. He didn't know any street names or street numbers or anything like that. He said, okay, go down this way. And you'll get to the city of Corning. Go through Corning, and you'll get to Gloucester, Ohio. We're like, okay. And he says, when you get to the street light in Gloucester, the street light,
great.
One street light, turn right. Then go to the end of that road and turn left. And that was like the instructions we had. And like an hour and a half later, we finally got to our destination. Thank you, Jesus. So Friday was a disaster, but Saturday was really cool, and I got to taste a pawpaw fruit. And I have to tell everybody that pawpaw fruits taste like a fruit smoothie in a fruit. Like a tropical fruit smoothie in a fruit.
Really?
And I'm really baffled as to why everyone doesn't grow them, because they're so freaking delicious. So that was my adventure. All that for fruit.
Oh, fruit?
But it was good, and it was fun. And
so you've got that.
And I went, and the festival was really kind of hippy-dippy, you know, lots of recycling and lots of social justice and that sort of thing. Because it's outside of Athens, Ohio, which is the home of Ohio University. So you've got that whole, like, you know, college town element. I talked to the People's Justice League people. They gave me a free button. That was nice. So
the People's Justice League.
You know, it was fun.
Is that like that? They couldn't afford Superman and Wonder Woman, so they.
I don't know. But yeah, so that was my adventure last week, and I was happy to be home.
I bet. Now I want a pawpaw, damn it. Yeah. They don't grow in Texas.
Pawpaw is good. I'm telling you, they're delicious.
Don't ask Brita to go back and get one. That's all we're saying.
No, I'm not getting. You can buy pawpaw pulp, like, online. You can buy, you know, the solitude frozen online. If anybody
frozen,
really curious, I really recommend it, because it's like, yeah, and it's it was George Washington's favorite fruit. It's very, like, you know, it's a Native American thing, so.
Delicious. So Elizabeth Warren would be all over it.
She totally would. I'm sure she has multiple trees in her backyard.
Speaking of Elizabeth Warren.
Ha ha.
He's been in the news a bit lately, hasn't she? I absolutely could not pass this story up. This is just
okay.
So emblematic. Within a day of her coming out against the evils of lobbyists and lobbying and, oh, this is horrible, she hired a lobbyist for her campaign.
Did she?
And again, where do we hear about it? MSNBC? Nope. CNN? Nope. Daily Call? You
not,
know,
not just a really? Lobbyist, though. A Planned Parenthood lobbyist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
For a key role in her presidential campaign. So. Yeah.
A key role being what?
Florida State Director for Warren for President.
Yeah. You know, Florida being, you know.
Yeah, Florida is definitely key.
Moderately important state. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is hysterical.
Well, our only hope is that they'll let Elizabeth Warren talk a lot, because if you thought Hillary was shrill.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, like I said, when she yelled at the audience that this isn't funny, I'm like, you're done. You are done.
Play that on a loop.
Yeah, that is your defining moment. When you cluck your tongue and scold the audience. And this was like a friendly audience. Yeah, this wasn't even like a 50-50 mix at a debate.
Oh.
This was, oh yeah. Hold on.
Find the sound clip. Play it.
Let's see. Hold on. This Shush's crowd. Daily.com. I've never even heard of this.
The Daily what?
Daily.com. Oh. I've never even heard of. Again. Elizabeth Warren, this isn't funny. It was a healthcare debate. Hold on. Wait a sec. I think we might have a sound clip. It's going to be terrible because it's going to be playing. Sorry, my computer was actually built in the Stone Age, so. It takes it. Will you allow them to send you notifications? Oh, dear God, no.
Jay needs technical help.
I need to. Okay, no, we don't have a sound clip. We have a whole bunch of bullshit.
Do they give you a better computer at work?
Yes. Yeah, I have a Mac.
Awesome.
Oh! Ha-ha!
All right, so...
Well, at least my dues are going for something productive.
That's right. We
getting Jay a Mac.
Actually, for the first time in my life, I have a 2-monitor setup.
Oh, those are great.
Oh my gosh, how fancy.
While it's neat, I'm like, I can take it or leave it. Because we actually run, we run an emulator. So we have a Word, a Microsoft-friendly environment for Word and Excel and, you know, the whole Office suite and email and whatnot. And then we do all the creative stuff on the full, you know, I mean, it's all Mac, but the non-Microsoft emulating side gets all the creative stuff. So I keep, you know, the Windows on one screen and the Mac on the other. It works well. But again, I can also tab between screens just as easily. So monitors are like ridiculously cheap these days. Like not even, we were looking at it because we're in the process of replacing this computer. We only got it in 2011. And it was a Black Friday special in 2011. Still chugging along. It's you know, it's slow. It's slowed down, but it works. And that's the amazing thing. Alan, you... Well, have you always been a Mac guy, Alan? Or did you start with PCs or dabble in PCs in like the late 80s, early 90s?
Well, I started off.
Alan goes both ways.
Okay, Alan, yes. You started off with a you started off with a Unilab, right?
I started off, well, my first computer was a PDP-11. But my first little computer was an Apple II.
So, okay, always been an Apple guy.
And then in the 80s, I was all like PC. Oh. And I did PCs. I did like Intel PCs basically till 2006 when Apple, because I'd been wanting to, ever since Jobs came back to Apple and brought Next OS with him and turned it into OS 10, I'd been wanting a Mac. And the only problem was that I didn't like the PowerPC architecture it was running on. So in 2006, when they came out with the Intel, that's when I went to Mac.
Gotcha. Yeah, because
and I've been there ever since. And before that, I was running Linux on Intel.
That
stuff.
You had a beard pipe, right?
Yeah. So So I'm really a Unix guy, to tell you the truth. And at this time, Apple still makes the best desktop version of Unix. So
I just remember building PCs back in the mid 90s. And, you know, it was one of those things like you'd get the best components you could afford.
Oh, yeah.
And literally the time it took you to put it together, they'd be obsolete by the time you were done.
Yeah, but it was dirt cheap.
Yeah. If you didn't mind plugging stuff in yourself and what. And, you know, you had to bleed a little bit in each case. And, I remember like every 3 years, roughly, you needed a new computer because they were just so horribly outdated. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it was, you know, you might be able to eke four, but generally two to four, you needed a new computer. So
right.
The fact that this thing is still just kind of chugging along at 8 years old, this is, you know, this is like the George Burns of computers at this point.
Yeah, I have a 2012 27-inch iMac, and the only reason I've stopped using it is because Apple stopped updating it.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was fine. And it still worked fine. It still did everything I needed it to do, but Apple just stopped updating it. So.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yep.
Yeah. Now that we have thoroughly geeked poor Brita to death.
Hey, Brita has a Mac.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A Mac or just an iPad? Oh, you have this or you?
All of the above.
I've thought about it, but it's as long as we still have children, I'm like, yeah, no. I got people who are gonna like
what?
Just pound on the keyboard and click everything. Probably are better.
I was dealing with some people at work for the company I work for, and you know, you hear about these people that do this, and you think it's like, you know, apocryphal or something like that. You don't think it's real, right? I talked to a group today whose job is to play games.
Really?
Yes. They do it to test hardware, and they play the games. And I'm like, do you have to play all the games, or can't you just do, like, you know, can kind of run like an automated game test suite on it and call it done? And they're like, oh, no, we have to play all the games. I'm like, uh-huh. Sure you do. You're getting paid money to play games for a living.
To see if you can break it by playing Doom multiplayer.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Crazy. So, anyway.
Let's see.
I found a fun article that...
That's where I was trying to segue earlier.
I wanted to get Brita's take on it. They're apparently...
Oh, boy.
Apparently, women have trouble pooping, and it's men's fault.
Of course. It's the patriarchy. Apparently, we're the poop-triarchy as well.
There's this article in the New York Times about how women who don't want to poop at work, and it's men's fault. But then when they, you know, so they start off, well, it's, you know, I mean, right, it's like, well, third or fourth paragraph, well, it's the patriarchy. And then you keep reading the article, and every single damn one, it's women and how women treat each other, and how it's women, you know, men, they go, oh, men can fart anywhere and take a dump anywhere. And, you know, but women, they, you know, oh, they can't do it because other women think bad of them or something. And I'm like, well, how is that the patriarchy? That's women being, you know, middle school bitches still.
Well, okay, just to be fair. If a woman farted in front of you, how would you feel? Or what would your reaction be?
I would score it like I score anything else. I'd score it like a bell.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, I would, you know, I'd be like, well, you know, that was a 6, but, you know, it had a good, you know, timbre to it. So I'll give it a 7. You know, I mean, come on.
Really got the reverb going on the cheek.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? I mean... That's like the book says, everybody poops and everybody farts, and, you know, trying to hide it's just dumb.
Well, and in the article that you linked to was women learn how to fart silently, and that is 100% true.
See, that's how the hell do you do that? I mean, I can understand, you know, to me, farts are like completely out of my control.
You know? Oh, but they aren't. Well, Alan. Maybe you need to work harder at it.
Well, maybe I just don't care because, you know, it's whether it's a, you know, whether it's a silent but deadly or a loud one. It's just, it is what it is. I'm not, you know, I've never.
Right.
I've never cared.
But the reason. Okay. All right. Let's get into it. The idea that this is due to the patriarchy somehow, or the idea at all that this involves men, is ridiculous. It's a lie. It's women fooling themselves. I mean, I don't know. But no. Women are okay. I feel like, all right. Men like women. And I don't think men, like, as a general rule, if a woman farted in front of them, I don't think men would really care. And I don't really think that men, it would be like, oh, she farted. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Like, oh, a fart. It's like, big whoop. crap. But if a okay, let me think. I have never in my life, I'm 45 years old, I have never in my life heard another woman fart in front of me. Ever.
Wow.
And one of the reasons is, you know, we learn how to do it silently.
Is there like a clap? But,
do you, no. Is that
tucked into the women's studies?
Maybe. Maybe that's what they said. They study women's studies. But
we score them. You know, it's like, dude, awesome.
Yeah.
And also, and I got to tell you, in the break room, not the break room, but the restroom at the library, the staff restroom, I should count them tomorrow and come back with a number of how many there are. But I would be willing to bet there's at least half a dozen air fresheners.
Yeah.
In the break room, in the restroom.
Have you ever seen an air freshener in a men's restroom, Jay, that wasn't like put there by like, you know, one of those like hiss things that hiss up on the wall every now and then? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, 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 I know. I know exactly what you mean. It scares the shit out of me. Because you're standing in the urinal and you're like, dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum, and then you hear a fucking snake in the room. Oh, Jesus, what the? Oh, God damn it.
Oh, they actually have to install like automatic air fresheners in men's restrooms?
Sometimes.
Because men won't do it themselves?
No, why would we?
Oh, my God. We even, like, at a certain point had that poo-pourri stuff where you spray it in the toilet before you go poop, and it, like, I don't know, it magically absorbs the poop smell, and there's no poop smell, and you can flush and, like, no evidence of poop. I mean, granted, the stuff is, I don't know what's in it, but it's pretty magical.
It's a bathroom. What did people think you were in there doing?
You know, I don't know, but the woman shame, the woman on woman shame is a real thing and has nothing to do with men at all. And there's a lot of things men do wrong with women. This is not one of them. This is not even close. There's so many things like woman on woman shaming that, for instance, oh, here's a good example. Going braless.
I think I'd speak for pretty much every man on the planet when we say you feel free to go braless.
Yep.
Well, yes. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Now, the braless issue is like kind of, there's two levels of the braless issue. You've got like, oh no, men are going to be ogling my boobs, which men do anyway.
Gonna say that we are,
but the woman shaming, the woman on woman shaming for going braless is enormous. Like like women will be like, oh my God, did you see her? She's not wearing a bra. Like, what a slut. Who does she think she, like, if you don't wear a bra around other women, it is a thing. For me, it's not a thing because I don't care, and I would prefer not to wear one. But it's like the woman on woman shaming is, and the pooping is all woman on woman because, well, women don't share bathrooms with men.
Nope.
Right. So it's not like a man could like be like, oh, she took a big dump. Look at, you know, men have nothing to do with it. So no, it's not a patriarchy thing. I just looked up there's this thing that's been going around the internet, and this woman tweeted, it said, male privilege is wearing the same outfit multiple times to events, while girls can't wear the same dress twice, no matter how cute it is.
Yeah.
That's not men's fault. We don't give a shit.
Absolutely.
And somebody responded to her, there isn't a single straight man on earth that cares if you wear the same cute dress twice. The negative comments will come from other women. And that is true.
Yep.
I mean, not to mention that men probably don't even notice.
Oh,
I mean, like, bless your hearts.
If you had like flashing neon lights, we might be like, huh, okay.
You're wearing the flashing neon light dress again.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. It doesn't matter what it was. If you know, we just flat out wouldn't care if you wore it. I mean, you know, men, like I've got like, you know, probably five or six things I'd wear when I would go into the office.
Yeah.
And that's it.
We literally joke that it's a uniform.
Yeah.
Every Monday. Yeah. Every Monday, it's a light blue shirt, yellow tie, and khaki pants. And half the men there are wearing the same thing. And we joke about it. We don't care.
Yeah.
It's like, it is what it is. Oh no, we're wearing the same outfit. Tee-hee. You know,
yeah.
We don't get that. Guys don't get that.
And if women wanted to wear the same, if women wanted to have the same six outfits and wear them, you know, wear the same damn thing every Monday, I don't think anybody would care. Well, no guy would care. The women would be catty.
Well, I think that, I think women internalize a lot of stuff because, for instance, you know, I don't notice what other women wear. I mean, not that I care, really, but, like, if somebody wore the same thing twice in 1 week, I don't think I'd notice. I think a lot of the pressure that women put on themselves with pooping and with clothes and with bralessness, I think they put it on themselves. I don't know where it comes from, but I think a lot of it is just internalized, you know, like, yeah, probably.
I think it's competition.
Thanks, Mom.
Drag
it might be competition.
You elevate.
Well, yeah, drag the other woman down. That is definitely classic. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Women are vicious, man. I mean, maybe they shouldn't have guns. They all have mental problems.
Well, you know, I think I've mentioned before, if it wasn't on this podcast, it was one of the other ones that
I knew. Brita, did you just pink flagging?
What?
Did you just bring up pink flagging?
Oh, pink flagging instead of red flagging? Yeah, that could be a thing.
I made it funny.
At the state mental hospital, they keep men and women in separate, you know, institutions. The men, they're perfectly comfortable giving them forks to eat with. The women, they cannot give forks to. They have to eat with like spoons and stuff. Because they will literally stab each other with the forks.
Sure. I want to state for the record that I always like to poop at work.
See, I'm the same way. I'm thinking, you know,
paid here, man. Well,
also a lot of it comes from, because I spent a lot of years living in a house that had a septic tank. And if anybody's ever lived somewhere that had a septic tank, eventually you got to pump that sucker out. And I was always like, man, I tried as hard as I could to poop at work because that just meant I could go that much longer without, you know, getting the septic tank.
Without having to get them pumped out.
So, I mean, I was happy to poop somewhere else. You know, it was great.
Well, you know, I just really think that.
Sorry, Brita.
If you have a woman in your life, like, be gentle with her because chances are she deals with a lot of shit from other women and a lot of shit from herself. So, you know, be gentle. That's all I'm going to say.
Brita, you can fart in front of us.
My advice. I probably wouldn't because I have trained my butt to not do that. After decades of being a girl, I have acquired the skill.
I can't even tell what muscles I'd flex to stop that.
I'm not
sure.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you know what?
Maybe you don't have them. I don't know.
That may be one of those biological differences. You know, women have a stronger, you know, core muscle group down there, you know, that pelvic floor and all that kind of stuff. That may have some, no shit, that may have something to do with it.
Wait a minute, that's what you do kegels for, right?
Yeah.
No, that's not why, Jay. Although it may help. I don't know. I'm sorry, everybody.
We're all punchy.
Best show ever.
I'm sorry. I got, oh,
God.
Here's what I get from my coworkers. Oh, you got rear-ended for the third time? You're not in this for the commuting, are you? I'm
like, oh.
But
well played. Well played.
That's not nice.
Oh man. Oh.
We still did not talk about Hillary behind the desk. It's old news now, but it's hilarious. I recommend everybody look it up because it's fucking
it's infuriating too.
Well, I know because you know she's making fun of like breaking the law.
Yeah.
Right, flagrantly like. Ha ha, I broke the law. I can't get me.
Ha ha, I hid all these emails from you. Ha ha.
So you gotta give it more. It's not just a desk.
Desk.
It is a replica of the Resolute desk that sits in the Oval Office.
You know, I wasn't so upset about that because that's the only way she's going to get behind that desk.
Right, but it's just that one. I mean, it just wasn't. It could have been any desk, but no, it was that desk. And
did Trump keep that desk?
Yes,
because I know that Obama moved that desk in. It wasn't originally in there. Obama moved it in.
No, it was in there.
And then he made a point of putting his feet on it.
Yeah, because he's.
Well, they They move it in and out depending on you know.
Yeah, you can. You're president. You can have whatever desk you want.
Right. It's traditional that that's the desk, though. Which is funny because it's a really shitty desk. I mean, I've seen pictures of it. You can't do any damn work on that. You can't even put up a computer monitor on it.
Boy. Alan wants his White House desk to come from IKEA.
IKEA desks are shitty. I get those like industrial lab benches that hold 500 pounds. That's my computer desk.
Okay. Here, people ask what? Oh, yep. Trump is still using the Resolute desk.
Yep.
Yes.
And I only know the name of it because I saw National Treasure.
Oh,
Nicholas.
That was a great movie. I love that movie.
The Resolute desk has been in the Oval Office since Jimmy Carter. It was in there for John F. Kennedy, and it got moved out, and then Jimmy Carter brought it back.
Yep.
Because it still smelled
like... Nobody's moved it. Maybe. Ew.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
Oh, look at that. It's been an hour.
It has. You don't want to hear more about the fart control that women have?
9 o'clock.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what that means? What? You can take more.
You can what? Oh, Advil. Aw. Well, I'm glad you're taking it, and I hope you're okay, because having been through the whole whiplash thing myself... It is not a myth. I think that was part of my problem when I was in my car accident, that I kind of thought whiplash was a myth. I was like, oh, no, it's not like a real thing. It's like people show up in court with the big neck brace. Oh, I whiplash, blah, blah, blah. And it's like a joke, right? Nobody ever has whiplash because it's not a real thing. But trust me, it is a thing.
Yeah, it is.
And it will fuck you up.
Yeah. Back problems.
Take it from me.
Yep. Yeah, I'm curious how I'm gonna feel how I feel in the morning. That's
it usually takes more than it takes a couple days for things to really clamp down.
Tomorrow will be interesting, and Saturday will be even more so.
Are you going to the doctor?
Yeah,
I have a 9 o'clock appointment tomorrow morning.
Okay,
so
good.
I have and I have an appointment on Saturday because I'm spoiling myself. This is my one extravagance.
You going to the spa, Jay?
No, even better.
Oh.
I'm getting a PSA pre-check.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy.
I did that. It's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one of those. It was actually, I guess not last month now, but no, it was last month. I'm sorry. Trip to Minnesota. And the flight home, I got to the airport like 2 hours early. You know, like way ridiculously early. And the line had to have been at least 150 people long to get into security.
Oh, no.
It was just, it stretched the entire length of the terminal. Like, I'm walking by, and I'm like, what are all these people doing? Oh, my God. That's the line to get through security. I'm like, yep, yep. So I splurged, and I'm going to go get my fingerprints. I'm like, oh, fuck, they got my fingerprints. I got fingerprinted like 10 times up in Mass just to own a gun.
You know, it's funny, but the TSA, the pre-check kind of takes you back to the pre-9/11 yep. sort of security. You just, you keep your shoes on. You don't have to disrobe. You throw your suitcase up on the conveyor belt, and you just breeze right through. And you're done.
I don't disrobe during TSA. What are you doing?
It's an Alan thing, Brita. He just likes to.
You know, you gotta take all your jackets off and take your belt off and take your shoes off and all this bullshit.
Well, you gotta
yoga take pants.
You can leave your laptop in your bag.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to undo all your electronics. You just throw your bag on the thing, it swoops through, and you're done. And I honestly think most of that's just like
theater.
Going through the motions because pre-check, what are you going to do? I mean, how many terrorists are going to do pre-check? Come on.
The whole thing is.
All of them?
That's exactly. But that's done anyway. They're not going to hijack a plane.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a one-trick deal.
Yeah, it'll never happen again.
It's up and, Allahu Akbar, I'm hijacking this plane. He's going to get bum-rushed.
Even if it was an old-fashioned hijacking like they used to do, right? Even, fly this plane to wherever the fuck, Fly this plane to Cuba. Ain't going to happen. You're going to get dogpiled. You might live through it, but, you're not going to enjoy it.
Like I said, Richard Reed was probably the single biggest failure ever. The fact that he actually walked off that plane and was not pulled out in a sponge.
Yeah. Whatever happened to him? Is still in prison?
Some guy. I hope he's still in Gitmo. I hope they're waterboarding him every fucking day. Only instead of water, they're using diesel.
Oh, they're not.
The shoe bomber.
I want James Mattis to personally wedgie him once a week.
Whoa. 3 consecutive life sentences and 110 years without parole. All righty.
Have you heard that he would have been out in 10 years?
Yeah, but what's funny is his thing, it wouldn't have worked anyway. He was just, the whole thing was just stupid.
I don't think he was very bright.
He's like, you can't. He's like trying to light his shoes on fire with like a match or a cigarette lighter or something. I mean, that's not how that works. I mean, you can take a hunk of C4 and set it on fire and cook your MRE water over it. I mean, it's not going to explode. So
not how it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a thing. So I don't know what he thought he was doing, but and anything, any explosive you could set off by doing it that way in a shoe,
right.
even Tannerite won't go up like that. It just doesn't. So,
yeah, I mean, you've got what, black powder, which that much you might scorch the carpet.
Right, exactly. It's like it's not gonna. It'll make a big stinky cloud, and everybody'll be pissed off at you, and then nothing. So, it's just the whole thing.
Now people are gonna be listening to this. I'm sure somebody out there is going, "Well, what about this? This one right here?"
I think Richard Reed was kind of a test. He was like a guinea pig, I think.
Yeah, they do a lot of test stuff like this guy. Oh, like this guy.
Hey,
the guy that tried to labor dispute the airplane.
Oh yeah, yeah, the labor dispute. He just happens to be Muhammad Al-Akbar.
Right, with ISIS videos on his phone, but it was totally a labor dispute. Had nothing to do with Islamic terrorism.
Yeah.
I think that was either a lone wolf attempt to crash that plane. Or he was running a test for somebody else.
Hey, they're so politically correct that they're not going to prevent known ISIS sympathizers from working around airplanes.
Right. Yeah. So you got, so you got this guy who's like some sort of airplane mechanic, right? He's Muslim. And, you know, I'm sorry if it sounds Islamophobic, but is it really Islamophobic if the Muslims are actually declaring jihad on Americans and trying to kill us? That's not, you know, because a phobia is an unreasonable fear.
Yes.
So you got this guy, and like you said, Jay, it's the pure political correctness prevents them from going, maybe we shouldn't have that guy working on planes.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should, like, check him out really good before we do.
Make sure there's no, you know, like, ISIS videos in his Facebook profile. You right. know? They're kicking kids out of school because they went shooting with their parents. Oh, yeah. But
and that's fine. I read, like, what was it? Instagram. Instagram's deleting posts of people that people put up of them, like, shooting at the range. Instagram's deleting it, going, oh, violates our standards.
Yeah. But ISIS beheading a journalist? Yeah, that's fine.
No problem.
It's all good.
Yep.
Ah, yes.
But what was his Hassan? What is the guy? The Fort Hood guy.
Yeah.
Totally workplace violence.
Yes. Just another incident of workplace violence.
Yeah. And now we're well over an hour.
Because some airplanes flew into buildings.
Oh yeah. Thank you, New York Times.
I conflated the New York Times with Ilhan Omar there. Some people did something. Some
people did something, right.
It's just, you know, some airplanes flew into some building. What a world. What a world. What a world. Anyway, we had a show.
Yep.
We did.
We did. We almost card geeked Bree to death, but we pulled back.
I'm going to be out of town next week.
Oh!
Say where you're going.
Yes, next Thursday I will be in Californistan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you lose a bet?
No, it's a work thing.
Oh.
I told Alan he can't go. He doesn't have his passport.
Can't leave the country. Yeah.
Can't leave Texas.
So I got to go. So now I'm doing that debate. You know, Jay, you'll understand this. I'm doing the debate. So I know I can't take my gun.
Right.
If I don't check a bag, I can't even take a fucking knife.
Oh, I hate that. I'm doing the same thing next week. I'm going up to Mass.
So I'm like, fuck, I'm going to be in California. I can't even take a little pocket knife.
Right.
Carry on.
You can't even take pepper spray.
I mean, I could probably throw a couple of cheap pocket knives in my luggage, and TSA probably wouldn't even see it. But, you know, still.
Well, they're going to see it now. Like, oh.
You know, so but then if I check a bag because I'm not carrying a gun, I can't put the non-TSA locks on it, which means the baggage handlers can steal my shit. So, great. Anyway,
just dust everything with Iocane powder.
Yeah. So we won't be doing a show next week, but the week after we'll be back.
Next week, okay. But the week after, hold on. I don't have any plans.
I don't have any plans.
Our next show will be in October.
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
Yes. No, but even the week
I'm all ready for the pumpkin spice season. I am prepared.
Oh, it's well into pumpkin spice season. Alan?
What?
Well, it comes later for you, but what do folks like us refer to this time of year? It's big gun season. Yay! Because you got coats and sweaters and sweatshirts.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, we have open carry in Texas now.
Well, we have in Virginia, but...
Except for all the pussy-ass businesses that won't let you carry it open carry into their business anymore. Oh, no, you can't. You might upset somebody. You can't carry in there.
Which is hysterical to think about it.
So you pull your shirt out and drop it over the gun.
Yeah. It's like I can conceal, and now you have no idea who's carrying.
Yeah.
could be every single person in this store.
Right. Because here's the thing. The criminals, they're not open carrying.
They're not. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
You know, except for that one guy that walks in and starts shooting everybody. You know, he's open carrying. But then, you know, you can see.
Really open carrying. That's, you know.
Yep.
All right. Anywho, all right, so 2 weeks. Two weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
All right.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.